Welcome to the Optimal Body Podcast. I'm Doc Jen.
And I'm Dr. Dom, and we are doctors of physical therapy, bringing you the body tips and physical therapy pearls of wisdom to help you begin to understand your body, relieve your pains and restrictions, and answer your questions.
Along with expert guests, our goal of the Optimal Body Podcast is really to help you discover what optimal means within your own body. Let's dive in. All right, before we get into this episode, you know, tis the season for discounts, and we, of course, are giving a massive one for Gen Health. Now, if you've been listening to this podcast, you hear all of the mentions of Gen Health along the way, usually, when we're talking about if you're having low back pain, shoulder pain, hip pain, no matter what it is, or you just want a full body experience where you're really getting the mobility, the foundational tools, even the strength workouts that help you get back into the better awareness of what your body is doing, how it's moving, and how you can feel. We really want to help you free up how you're feeling within your body. So if you have not checked out Gen Health yet, 50% off the yearly membership is currently happening. And when you get this 50% discount, you get it for life. So no matter how long you want to be subscribed as a Gen Health member, you get 50% off along with the plans. We do monthly webinars where I'm really coming on to answer your questions, get a little more personal, and give some education. So it's a continuous learning platform, and I love the community a part of it. If you have not gotten in, just explore a free week. See what it could feel like within your body. Now is the time, especially with all the craziness, to give back to your body. So I hope you get in. No discount code is needed. The price is automatically changed, but it's only for this week. So gen.health/free trial and sign up today.
Okay, talking about hip optimization, or optimizing our hip health today as part of our whole body optimization series, episode 4. We're moving away from the back, moving into the hips. And we have done so many other podcasts on hip topics in general. So some of the ones that we've done are hip impingement, hip shift or rotated pelvis, snapping hip syndrome, hip flexor tightness, hip bursitis, piriformis, hips out of place, or why did my hips go out of place, hip dysplasia, hip labrum issues, labrum tears, hip arthritis, and I know there are probably more in there, so we'll try and link those up down in the show notes or in the description of the YouTube video if you're watching on YouTube. Just so if you have specific questions on a diagnosis or something more specific, you might find it in one of those episodes.
Yeah, because in those episodes as well, we go through, you know, what current research is saying about them in terms of treatment and process, and really help you to understand, okay, maybe you got diagnosed with this and this is what your doctor told you. Here's what we recommend in conjunction, right? In conjunction with seeing your PT or your doctor, whoever you're seeing. Interrupting your episode really quickly, because when it comes to hip pain, and something that we are going to talk about is understanding how our feet and our contact with the ground matters in terms of what we feel and how we activate the muscles around our hips. And this comes down to how your feet are moving. And we've been so conditioned into believing that we need more support, more arch support to squish our feet into these fancy looking shoes that really are not supporting our overall health. So especially when it comes to optimizing how those hips are feeling, make sure that your toes have the ability to spread in order to have the mobility that they need, in order to have the strength that they can use to function in both pronation and supination every step that we take. We need our foot to function optimally in order to feel better within our body. So if you have not tried Vivo barefoot shoes, the shoes that we talk about all the time, I highly recommend getting a pair and trying it out. You get 15% off for being our podcast listener. So use code TOB at checkout and try a pair of Vivo barefoot shoes, or treat yourself to another pair if you've already had one. I highly recommend telling your friends, your family, your feet are so important. Even if you just start walking a little bit throughout the day and building up time in these types of shoes, you're gonna help to support your entire body, including your hips. So again, use code TOB for 15% off. Now, we want to just say, okay, say you've had hip issues in the past, or you have a long history of knowing friends and family members who've had hip issues, and you just want to understand how to build the most resilient hips to help avoid injury. Now, we can never say that we're going to for sure prevent injury and prevent pain. That's a part of our experience within our body. However, there are practices that we believe and exercises that if you do this on a daily basis, you're going to have a lot less occurrence of building hip issues. And the reason, one of the main reasons I think that we get hip issues in the first place is because of things like this. Well, I'm sitting cross-legged in my chair right now, but for the most part, we go from sitting in cars on the way to work to sitting at desks all day long to coming back into a car to sitting at the dinner table to sitting on the couch. And we're never getting our legs past that 90 degree angle in our hips unless you're going to like a yoga class or something that's intentionally putting you on the ground. But even then, for how long is that as opposed to all day long where we go from a sit to a stand 90 degrees?
Yeah, I think if we talked, and first off, I'll start by saying that this list of like reasons why people have issues in their hips is definitely not exhaustive. And that's the same goes for the exercises we list off, like the 3 to 5 exercises we list off aren't going to solve every issue. No. And all the reasons we list off aren't a fully exhaustive list of why people might have hip issues. But I think for most areas in our body, our lack of movement or how much we are just holding and sitting in one position is a huge issue. Mm-hmm. And what that starts to result in is us compensating when we're doing other movements or are in other positions because we don't do them as often. Mm-hmm. And our body's not ready to support or move within those ranges. So like when we're standing, we lean into our hips to get that like stability from what's called our Y ligament of Bigelow. And then we kind of just lean into that. So we have stability when we're in a standing.
Or we shift onto one side.
Or we shift to one side. Yeah. Or we extend through our low back and find stability in our low back. So we just start to compensate through the hips, which then the next issue I think is that we start to have a lack of coordination between our hips and our core, or our hips and the other muscles, you know, that are in our legs, going down through the knee and stuff, where we have found stability in our hips, so we're moving more through the low back. So then we go to pick up our leg, we aren't supported well through our core and our low core. Our hip flexor type muscles are overpowering. We get that snap in the front of our hip because we're not, again, supporting and coordinating that movement well through our core. And it just starts to become, you know, a little bit of an issue throughout all movements because we really want to have this coordinated firing of muscles through our core, through our hips, and even within the hip muscles themselves.
Exactly. I mean, overall, if we can have more balance of our hips and our pelvis and our core control in general, then it helps to reduce only one pattern happening all the time. And that's where we really start to see tendonitis start to happen and really what our tendinosis, right? Where we start to develop that reoccurrence of that injury because we're only using one muscle in one direction all the time and it's becoming overpowering. So how can we rebalance the system? And it's really becoming more aware of how our breath is and how we're moving through our hip and core, you know, because I think a lot of times and what I've seen in clients over and over and over again is they have this quad dominant type posture where, you know, they're a little bit further forward. Our quads are kind of taking on all the pressure. You go to bend down. It's a very knee quad dominant type movement. Then you start developing knee pain or low back pain because our hips, our heavy hips, our glutes, they're just not working and powering in the way that they could be. It's not that they have amnesia. It's not that they're asleep. It's just that we don't have the awareness to work into them, the balance to utilize those muscles to their full capacity.
Yeah, when you do something for so long or do something a certain way for so long, you start to, again, not have that awareness. So you're not even realizing that you're doing things repetitively or that you do all movements with that quad dominance. And that kind of plays back to the first point of being in such a stagnant, stationary society. We just aren't getting the right kinds of movements and exercises in throughout the day. And again, it doesn't have to be exercise. It's not like, oh, you need to go get your hour of exercise at the gym. Like, we just need to move more and we need to have more variation so that our body, our brain, and our muscles can start to develop the ability to move dynamically through the world and feel comfortable doing so.
And I just want to, like, one little point, and I know I've brought this up before, and I heard this initially from Aaron Alexander, who we've had on the podcast mm-hmm. before, and he was doing a lot of research for his book, and what he had found was that in cultures and societies where they got down on the ground and they prayed more often throughout the day, meaning that they're going into like a full child's pose position. So putting their knees all the way up to their chest, hips all the way in, and then getting up on the floor, which takes strength, getting down and getting back up and doing that multiple times a day, they actually had less occurrence of having hip osteoarthritis and needing hip replacement.
Yeah.
So we're seeing, you know, if you're getting yourself into your full range of motion more often throughout the day, you could have the potential to have less issues happening in the hips. And that's what we're trying to talk about, right? This lack of mobility, this lack of awareness within the body.
Which is why you and I do things like work sitting on the ground at the coffee table, work laying on our stomach. I mean, even
do getting a podcast sitting cross-legged.
Yeah, getting ready for these podcasts, I was laying on my stomach writing out things for a while, to the point where I was laying there for like 40 minutes and I'm like, oh, this is starting to irritate my back a little bit. So I had to move and get into a different position. But just having that variability. So, okay, let's list off some of our favorite hip exercises that we feel like everyone should implement to optimize hip health.
And one that I think you'll see repetitively on my page, and I give it away for free all the time, is Hip 90-90, because it really is just kind of a catch-all. If we can start to improve our joint mobility from the basic ground level, then when we start to get up and move, we have more of an opportunity to then move through our hips, because there's more space in our joints to be able to move, because we're opening up internal and external rotation. We're not just going to put all the pressure into our back or all the pressure into our knee. Our hip actually has room and space to open up. So I think that's just such a valuable exercise.
Yeah, and people don't think of hip rotation in general.
Yeah, we think of hip flexors.
We think of the hip flexors or the glute amnesia. I feel like those are like the two big buzzwords that people hear, but your hip rotation is actually very involved with the hip internal rotation, and hip flexion are coupled together. Mm-hmm. And hip external rotation involves a lot of our glute muscles. Mm-hmm. So both of those, and how Hip 90-90 helps you passively and actively work on those, are just absolutely great. Another thing we mentioned is the coordination of our hip muscles to our core muscles. So we think everyone should work on some variation of laying on your back. So you're laying supine, facing, you know, with your face towards the ceiling, and doing some sort of like marching exercise that's going to help you start to coordinate that core activation with hip movement. So the most basic is both your feet are on the ground and you're just starting to march one leg up, kind of alternating. You can do it where your legs are up in a tabletop and you're dropping down to heel taps. That's a little bit more advanced, all the way to something like a dead bug with a band around your feet, which we love because then it helps you strengthen through the hip flexors as you're holding one leg, pushing one leg down, the opposite arm goes up. And it's that type of coordination that's going to bring the awareness back, that as I work my hip muscles, as I use my hip muscles, I also need to have this dynamic control through my core.
And it's really easy to just like kind of talk through right now. It's a lot harder to implement in practice if you're actually focusing on what is my rib cage in relation to my pelvis doing? What is my pelvic floor doing? How am I getting that full core coordination so that my hip flexors aren't taking over and popping when I'm doing these exercises? And that's why I will say, like, we have a whole core plan on Gen Health that walks you through step by step how to progress into these exercises and really find that baseline. And we've gotten so many reports of people like light bulbs going off, you know, who do this core and on Gen Health. So it's so much more involved when you're actually getting that coordination and building that awareness. And one that I've really been enjoying is Hip Airplane. And recently, so Hip Airplane in general, like I used to do it just, you know, fully unsupported, not against a wall, not against anything, and just on the ground, and kind of thinking of like, it's almost like Warrior Three, where you're in like a single leg deadlift position, and then you let one hip drop and you lift the other hip, which is great if you're doing it just like in the middle of the room.
It's also hard.
But it's so hard.
So hard in the middle of the room, because like you don't realize how big your pelvis is and like how much it throws off your center of mass. And like, so I really struggle with that because I got a big ass and a big hips. And so like when I start rotating my pelvis in that airplane type motion, like it's so hard for me to stay stable that I love what you're going to bring up about the variation.
So doing it against the wall, you have a little bit more control and stability, and you actually are able to, what you do is you stand about a foot away from the wall. If you're on YouTube, you can watch this. We'll share it. But you kick the leg that's not going to be kind of working up against the wall. So your foot is flat and kind of pulled up the wall. And when you start to kind of get, without moving your knee, but if you kind of think about dragging your heel up the wall, you start to activate that posterior chain. So we're starting to already turn on our glutes and our hamstrings. And then you kind of hinge forward right at your hips and you move just on the leg that's kind of standing on the ground. You drop that hip and then you open that hip. And now we're working on that rotation that we just got from hip 90-90 on the floor, but we're making more functional and standing. We're opening up the posterior pelvic floor as I drop into internal rotation. So I'm helping my hinge better by relaxing some of the tissue down there. Mm. And then I'm opening up and I'm contracting through my glutes. So I'm teaching my hips how to move better in a functional standing position, and finding better range of motion in my hips. And I'm telling you, you do 5 to 8 of these consecutively, my glutes are on fire the moment that I stop, because I'm lengthening and I'm contracting. I'm lengthening and I'm contracting on that single leg, and it is tough. So that's like one of my favorites.
And that's almost a combination of the first two things we talked about with the hip rotation, because it really helps actively load through hip internal and external rotation, but also the way that you're pushing into the wall, it really helps you stay aware and activated through your core as you're doing these pelvic rotations. And this kind of leads into our fourth point, which is just stay strong.
Yes.
I mean, for everything, like, of course, if there's pain, it's going to be tough to strength train. And that's why we kind of like to start with mobility first, because we need to have some foundational mobility before we go into strength. But strengthening around the hip in all the different planes of motion, our hip moves in so many different directions. We have the quads on the front, so doing more quad dominant squat of variation of sorts. For the glutes, doing more of a deadlift. For our adductors, we want to do some sort of side lunge variation or Cossack squat, something like that. And the outside of your leg, you want to maybe think about doing like step ups or controlled step downs.
Yeah, so huge. And then we also have to think, like, some of those we go to the side and we're hitting more single leg, right? But really focusing on single leg stability work, I think, is so huge too, and something that's often neglected and missed, especially if you're a runner, or just someone who walks in life. Because
if you're a runner, or if you're a walker, like if you ever walk,
yes.
And that's what, like, when people wonder why do I need to train single leg? It's like, every time we walk, we are on a single leg. We're supporting our whole body.
You go up and down stairs. Like, we're
the primary function of your hips is being able to support your body on a single leg.
It's so huge. And that's where, you know, single leg step up, lateral step down, crossing a step down and doing more of like your leg behind like a curtsy, doing Bulgarian split squat, doing a single leg deadlift. Like, I can go on and on, right? There's a ton of single leg exercises, but you're going to work on your balance. You're going to work on your hip and core control 100%, because you're trying to avoid, you know, things moving around crazy. And, you know, it's so important to be strong within our body. That is how we help to improve mobility, stability, and become resilient against pain and injury. Thank you so much for joining us for another episode. Don't forget, we have a huge Cyber Monday sale happening. So if you heard us mention the core plan, we also happen to have a hip plan. So hip specific exercises, hitting all of this that we talked about, is going to be within Gen Health, plus so much more. So don't forget to check that out. We're going to have it linked up below, but it's gen.health/free trial to get started in your free trial and snag that huge discount. We'll see you next time.